Beloved,
it is an honor and a privilege to introduce to you a man sent from God. This man has served his generation for the past 40 years as an apostle of the gospel of Christ and has helped in social reconstruction through his writings and charity work. He has God's mandate for deliverance. It is my privilege to introduce to you the Prince of Preachers, the Right Reverend Dr. Enyani Buedu, the Superintendent Bishop of Jesus Generation Ministries Worldwide. Join the service from the Mercy Seat Cathedral of Jesus Generation Ministries for today's sermon.
Wherever you are standing, shout victory over your family. Shout victory over your family. Shout victory over your finances. Shout victory over your future. Shout victory over your life. Shout victory over your education. Somebody say victory. Somebody say victory. I want you to shout victory over your life. Say victory. Shout victory over your children, over your life, over your future. Somebody say victory. Thank you, Jesus. Our Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for a time like this. When you have set a table for your children, we thank you. Father, this morning, I pray that you touch my tongue, knowing that this tongue is a tongue of clay that dwells amongst men. Sanctify it, God, for the preaching and the teaching of the gospel. Let the message only show you. I want you to deliver yourself from some of the things that is disturbing the charismatic fraternity. When a good message is preached, somebody will say, oh, if Sister Doris had come to church, this message would be good for her. Or if Brother Kwame was in church today. Please position yourself very well this morning and let this message be your message. Can I have an amen for that? Amen. Looking at you and the fact that most of you are now engaged in various forms of relationships, I want to preach a message that will prepare a better future for you. Can I have an amen? Amen. Better future. You see, the best investment in life is to invest in your future. Did you hear that? The best investment is to invest in your future. I'm speaking today on the poison of anger. Don't let the lady become a lone ranger when she's clapping. Support her in clapping. I'm speaking on the poison of anger. That is why I said, I realize that most of you are engaged in various forms of relationships. And because of that engagement, what you need is to prepare and invest into the future. Anger is one of the most basic human emotions like love. Anger is an emotion. Anger, it is an emotion. Ayatinka, it is like love. Anger is not always negative. Anger is not always negative. But when it is not properly controlled and it spins over, it could be very deadly and destructive. Anger may be good and it may also be bad by the way anger is handled. Church, listen to me. I just told you that anger is an emotion. It's an emotion. Eya tinka. Senia yeniche. No. Senia yehu obi a yehu teyen na yedono. Na yeni agye na yepena asem no. Sa na abufuo nso tie. Eya tinka. Eya tinka. It is an emotion. That is an integral part of human nature. So, what is the counsel of God on anger? My prayer is that each one of you will listen carefully to this message because it will save you in your marriage, in your workplace, even when you travel. It will save you in every aspect of life. It can also destroy you totally and isolate you from all other relationships that people will classify you as kakai, somebody who should not be approached. What is God's counsel on anger? Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 26.
Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath.
Take it again.
Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath.
The Bible says that be angry. It doesn't sound right, does it? God is telling us to be angry. It doesn't sound right. Why would God encourage us to be angry? I mean, this is God's word. Be angry. You must be angry. But in your anger, don't sin. Don't sin. The NIV says that in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. What is anger then? Why would God, why would God even talk about we being angry at all? Listen, church, of all the emotions, go home and do your own homework. Find out how many emotions we have in our physical body. Of all the emotions, like love, anger is the emotion most likely to cause problems in relationships, in the family, at the workplace, and with your friends. Of all the emotions, anger is the only emotion that can cause devastating problems in all your relationships. Therefore, be careful how you handle it. Be careful how you handle it. Be very careful how you handle it. Anger is a lethal killer. It's a lethal killer. It's dangerous than any bomb that you can think of. Anger is a lethal killer. But you know what? Anger is a warning bell. Anger is a warning bell that tells you that something is wrong. Therefore, it is an inbuilt something that nature. That word will be good for those who are not Christians. Nature. Nature plays it there. But as Christians, let me say, anger is an inbuilt something, mechanism that God placed in every man. Anger. Anger acts like a warning bell. It warns you that, you see, something is wrong. You are being threatened. Somebody wants to take you for granted. Somebody wants to take advantage of you. The moment your cognitive senses tells you that, no, you want to cheat me? You want to cheat me? Who do you take me for? Immediately, anger begins to ring a bell in you. Immediately. In your relationship, at work, even on the streets, when you are on the bus, and somebody wants to cheat you, immediately there is this inbuilt mechanism that we call anger as an emotion. It begins to react in your body system, in your mind, and it tells you that somebody wants to take you for granted. Somebody wants to cheat you. Somebody wants to undermine you. Somebody wants to dent a part of your identity. If somebody wants to dent a part of your identity, immediately, whether you are a pastor, whether you are a bishop, whether you are an evangelist, a king, a president, a minister in government, you will be angry. Therefore, listen to me, anger is a warning bell. I said it is what? Whenever you are faced with threats, anger helps you to quickly translate a very complex information into simple terms. This is right, this is wrong. It's anger who does that. It's anger who does that. Anytime you are faced with threats, maybe you are holding your children, you're going to town, and somebody walks like a bulldozer and does not even care that you are holding children and start pushing the children. Immediately, this warning bell, are you hearing me? Come on. Or when you are into business with somebody and the person wants to cut corners, and they can actually say, or your deal, cut corners, and it's trying to destroy your capital, your financial base, and you realize that the man is a cheat, the person is a cheat in your life. Immediately, this inbuilt mechanism called rings a bell in you. And then it helps you immediately to translate a very complex situation into simple terms. You see what anger can do? You see, when somebody, a thief, a clever person is in your life and wants to take you for granted or undermine you or try to, you know, as it were, rip you, to destroy you. Anger helps you to try. That person is very complex. Anybody who is a cheat is a very complex person, because it doesn't come straightforward for you to know that I'm a cheat. Are you hearing me? Thieves are complex people. Cheats are complex people. Cheats in every way. People who cheat in relationship, they are very complex. It is not easy to decode them. It is not easy. The person has an intention to cheat you. You are raw. You think I'm into this relationship with all my heart, my spirit, my soul. And the person has determined to cheat you. That person is more complex than you are. He's more complex because they need it all. He's more complex than you are. And it is very, very dangerous to be able, it is very, even difficult to understand the move of that person. But anger helps you to define, translate that complex personality and his moves into simple terms. My brother, this thing you are doing to me is wrong, or this thing is right. Sometimes it is anger that helps you to do that. Are you hearing me? So we'll be leading this discussion to a time where we have to find out, is there anything like a good anger? Is there anything like a righteous anger? Is there anything like a righteous anger as against a bad anger? We shall get there. Are you getting blessed already? Come on, are you getting blessed already? How do we therefore manage this emotion? How do we therefore manage this emotion called anger? If we are able to understand anger in all its forms and intensities, that is from annoyance to irritation to rage, it will help us to make a very big difference in our ability to take a step back and possess this powerful and complicated emotion. Understanding how anger behaves, what anger is, will help you to become rational in your approach to situations than to become irrational. Sometimes people act irrationally. They act irrationally. So if you're able to understand this teaching on anger, it will help you to take a step back and look at that emotion called anger very well and how best to manage it and process it. Am I speaking to somebody? As I'm speaking now, you will agree with me, either by personal experience or through observation, that many people today, as I'm speaking, are locked up behind prison bars because they let their anger control them rather than they controlling their anger. Did you catch it? Something good there. There's something good there. People are at prison today, right now. They are in counterbacks even right this morning. Because he joined Trotro. He joined the public transport. Somebody did something to him and the warning bell signaled. Are you understanding me? The fact that you got angry was not evil. It's not wrong. Especially when you feel threatened. Are you understanding me? When you feel threatened, when you feel cheated, when you feel that no, you are taking me for granted. This emotion called anger, I've already told you, will ring a bell that, hey, be careful, that boy wants to cheat you. But the question is, how did you control the anger? Did you let the anger control you, or you rather control the anger? That is the secret. Are we teaching? Many people allowed anger to control them. Anger in its excessive form will send you to prison. Anger, if not properly managed, anger, if not properly handled, it doesn't matter your public stature. You could be a minister of state, or you may have an ecclesiastical title like a bishop. There are laws that govern our society. If you get angry excessively and you do things that our laws does not permit, nobody will look at your clerical and say, because you are a pastor, we forgive you. You go to Insawem. You go to prison. And as I'm speaking, there are people in prison who could not manage or control their anger, and as a result of that, they are behind prison bars. Many marriages too have fallen apart because anger got out of hand. Maybe you, as a child, you are a victim of a marriage that could not work, not because of anything, but because of the way your mom and your father handled that emotion called anger. Many children, and I hope you are not one of them, have parted ways with their brothers, biological brothers and sisters. They are not on talking terms because of anger. Many, many biological sisters and brothers, first cousins, second cousins, people of the same bloodline, people of the same bloodline, people of the same family tree. Is this elder in the family who gave birth to Mr. Simpson, and Mr. Simpson gave birth to Ajatawia, and Ajatawia gave birth to Mauko? It is from the same family root. Mauko has his children. Ajatawia has his children. Williams has his children. But we are all from the same root. And today, because of anger, unmanaged anger, in the family, Ajatawia and his children are minding their own business. Mr. William and his children are minding their own business. And they keep on transferring the same bile, B-I-L-E, the bile of anger, to their grandchildren. Hey, be very careful about those cousins of yours, eh? They are dangerous. 25 years ago, they did this to us. What was the meaning of this? And these old men who are transferring this information may soon die and go, and they will not allow their children to live in peace. Am I teaching somebody? I don't know whether I have a witness here. I don't know whether I have a witness here that, pastor, I seen some before. Families that are not together because of unmanaged anger. Many people today are handicapped by serious sicknesses and disease, like stroke. And in his fist of anger, he wanted to retaliate immediately. I was standing here. Immediately, I saw the mouth shifted, the hand shifted. An able-bodied person, within a split second, he has stroke. That is what anger can do. Next time when we meet, we'll go into the medical aspect of it. The things that anger can release in your body. that can cause you to have heart problems. Most people today, as you listen to me, are living with high blood pressure because of how they handle their anger. It's a little killer, but sometimes it comes slowly and it's killing you. There is a built up of a serious sickness that may kill you. It won't take long. Because be very careful. Am I wasting your time? Jesus Christ. Somebody say mercy. So why do we get angry? If this is what anger does, then why do we get angry? Listen, church. What love puts together in years, anger can tear it apart in just few seconds. Things that love has taken years to build, those that you could see with your eyes, tangible and intangible assets. Love takes time to build. You get married, you and your husband, through that emotion called love, you build a strong family. You build your physical structures. You throw some money into bonds. You invest in so many things because of love. You invest in children. You invest in your future because of love. Because of love, I try to help my wife's people. My wife also helps my people because of love. Then one day, anger visits this family. Did you hear what I said? I'm now trying to personify that emotion called anger. I'm making that anger look like a human being. I'm trying to personify that emotion. So he comes on visit. Anger comes on visit. Anger comes to visit Mr. and Mrs. Anger comes to visit Mr. and Mrs. who are living with the spirit of love. Anger within 2 seconds is able to muddy the waters. And then Madam gets angry. Papa also gets angry. And they don't know how to control their anger. And then the words start pouring out like autoballistic weapons. It starts coming out. Hey, you think I don't know you? I don't. I think cheer has become part of our national discourse. Is that right? It's now part of our national discourse. In fact, it has been there long ago, you know. We all say it at all times. Don't listen to what the politicians make out of it. If you take it from the angle of the politicians, you miss the rich lessons that it brings. Are you hearing me? Ghana, so many voices speak, and the politicians are much louder. But they deceive us. But we have been saying cheer. Everybody says it every day. Sometimes you say it 5 times before you sleep. Do you know that? Uh-huh. But if we never thought of it, now we can now even bring it into our educational materials because of the rich lessons it has. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you know language keeps on changing? Yeah, keeps on changing. There are certain things we used to say 50 years ago. We don't say it again now. Very soon, LUV will become an accepted English to represent love. Are you hearing me? Because Oxford Dictionary people are thinking about it. I know for sure. I know. Oxford Dictionary people are thinking about certain terms that young people are using, and they want to inculcate it into the normal English. So that you realize that your children may grow to come and meet certain words that we were not using. Are you hearing me? Fine. So Papa is angry. Mama is angry. And then the anger will involve the children in the marriage.
Then words comes out. Very painful words comes out. And then most time it is the men who walk out first. When the woman says something and it goes deep into the heart, the man says, "Fafi, you know, you take the house. Take the house." Sometimes the men will sleep in their cars. You remember what I'm talking about? Sometimes the men will sleep in their cars. Sometimes they will come and sleep at the living room. They will sleep in the couch. They will not eat. The food will prepare, they won't eat. The things I'm saying remind some of you of the way your fathers behave. And some of the things that your mothers also do. Things that love has put together over the years. It will take one split second. Anger will destroy it. Am I speaking? So how do we manage this emotion? How do we manage this emotion? Called. Church, listen to me. We all live in communities. We all live in communities. And living joyfully in a community can be one of the greatest blessings that God has provided humankind. We all live in communities. What community am I talking about? We are here as a church, Jesus Generation. We call this one Victory Center. In other words, English Chapel. Very soon, I'm going to let you go out of this compound. Are you hearing me? And then you will no more be called English Chapel. You just be called Jesus Generation Ministries Victory Center. Are you hearing me? Then you can decide to do your English and do ever as a second service. Are you hearing me? You can decide to do your English, which is your main service, and do GAN as a second service. That means you are growing. Are you understanding me? Now, so we are here. Being in this local assembly, you are in a community. Are you hearing me? When you go home, you are in a community. When you go to work tomorrow, you are in a community. If you live in a suburb, the area where you, the neighborhood where you live, you are living in a community. If you are sharing an apartment or a compound house, as we have in this country, you are living in a community. If you are a man and a woman living together, it's a community. And I'm telling you, there is a blessing attached to living in a community. I'm moving the message forward. What are some of the blessings? Living in a community, we multiply our joys when we share them with one another. When we live in a community, we multiply our joys when we share our joy together. So that's why when we come to church, somebody say, "Oh, I have a testimony." The person will come and stand here and share a test and say, "Oh, God did something for me." And you hear, God didn't do it for you. He did it for him who is testifying. But as he's talking, we all celebrate with him. Then we say, "Hallelujah, glory to God. God, thank you." We multiply our joy when we live in a community by sharing our joy. Am I speaking? Mm-hmm. So somebody go to school, you graduate, you come home with your certificate, and then mom, dad, cousins, everybody's happy. You multiply our joy in a community when we share our joys together. Am I speaking to you? In the neighborhood, even in well-advanced countries, where I live in America, when I visit, the place where I live, they don't allow public bus transportation in that area. They don't allow train services in that area. Cab, what we call taxi here, they don't allow them there. You can call them though, but they don't allow them to ply in that area. Sometimes they do that because they want to avoid what we call in Ghana kobolos, to live in that any area where train comes there, buses come there, everybody can live there. But they make the place so expensive that you're not even there to come and you can't even rent a place there. So go Find your level. Fine. And over there, recently when I went, sometimes I wake up and I stand in the window. And from morning to evening, when they are all gone to work, I don't even count five people on the street. Not even five from morning to evening. I say, what kind of community is this? What kind of community is this? Everybody is in a small, small corner. And they come out like squirrels. And they are gone. Jump into their car. Ooh, everybody's gone. But even in that community, even in that neighborhood, you have to share your joys. Are you hearing me? Because when your children are having their birthdays, you cannot do it alone in your house. You have to go around and bell and say, hello, Tom is 5 years today. We want your children to come. We multiply our joys as we live in a community. I'm advancing the message and you have to follow me carefully. Hallelujah, somebody. I say hallelujah, somebody. Are you getting your notes? Living in a community also involves dividing our grief and our pain as we share them with one another. We don't only multiply our joy, we divide our grief and our pain as we share them together with the members of that community, whether church community, home, school, marketplace, people we do business with, in our neighborhood, we divide our grief. That is why, say a year tour. That is why when you lose a beloved, a dear one, people in the community may not even go to work. They will come and sit by you. They will come and surround you. They will come to encourage you because you cannot carry that grief alone. Is that right? No. You can't carry that pain alone. It may kill you. So people come around and we divide the pain. We divide the pain. We divide the pain. These are the benefits of living in a community. Is somebody hearing me? Now, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3,
Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear you one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself.
Church, listen to me. So living in the community, we strengthen one another. Either we divide our grief or we multiply our joy. So in this manner, our relationships with each other grow as we strengthen one another and develop greater love for one another. Community experience. But living in a community also has an inherent risk. There is an inherent risk living in a community. There is a risk factor when you live in a community. Now let's deal with the risk. Some of you came from long distances to come to church here. You walk past 10 churches before you reach here. Why didn't you enter any of those churches? There are so many churches. Even there are 3 churches behind your window. Why didn't you enter into any of those churches but you came here? This is the community that God has given to you. Say amen. And here we share our joy, we share our grief, we share our pain together. But there is also an inherent risk. If you are living in any community, the risk of being hurt by others who choose to become close to you. You have chosen that Pastor Eunice becomes your pastor. You chose. She didn't choose you. You chose her. Why is it that you didn't go to church of Pentecost? You came to Jesus generation. You chose Pastor Sowa to be your pastor. Why didn't you go to Baptist? But you came to Jesus generation. Listen, the people you have chosen to be close to you, they are the very people who hurt you. Are you hearing me? The people you chose to share your grief with, the people you chose to share your joy with, they are the very people you have chosen for them to live very close to you. And don't be surprised if they hurt you. Are you hearing me? Look at where our sister is sitting. Look at where she's sitting. And look at where Morris is sitting. It would be very impossible for Morris to help Elike. Eh? Very impossible, the distance. But it would be very easy for my daughter here to hurt her. Because the two of them, they chose to sit together. Am I teaching somebody now? You see, you didn't have a choice to be born into that family where you were born. God placed you there, and that's the family you belong. This is the church you belong. Where your father built his house, he chose to build his house there. Where your father is renting a house, he chose to rent. There are places at Sakumono. Why is it that your father will not go there and rent? There are gated communities in Accra now. Gated communities. There are places taxis are not allowed. In Accra here, taxis are not allowed. Mm-mm. If you're a taxi, you get to the cage, you return, drop the passenger and go back. The signboard is there. Taxis are not allowed. Even though human beings live there. Human beings live there. And I'm carrying human beings. But when you get to the gate, they say, drop the human being here. Let him walk. We don't want taxis here. There are communities in Accra like that. Do you know where they are? I have to show you all over. Now it's common in Accra. Ghana is now overpriced. Ghana is overpriced. Ah. Why is it that your father will not go and live there? And he's living at somewhere. Somewhere. Where you and your parents chose to live, you chose to live there. And the people in the community there are the very people you share your grief with, the people you share your joys with, and they are the people who will hurt you, or you will hurt them, because you chose to live there. Am I teaching now? You see, we are almost getting back to anger. We are almost getting back to anger. I'm trying to give you a logical arrangement of a sermon that will make it very easy for you to understand. When you choose to love somebody, when you choose to marry somebody, when you choose to be in a relationship with somebody, you have chosen to make yourself vulnerable to injury that may come from that person. You choose to love me. You choose to marry me. You choose to be in a relationship with me with the aim of getting married. Come on, church. You choose to live in the same room with me. Then you have chosen, or you have exposed your vulnerability to me. And I may hurt you. You may also hurt me. Because the moment we live in that proximity, come on, church. The moment we are in that proximity, our vulnerability is exposed to each other. Sometimes, some of you may visit your pastor's house. You visit any of your pastor's house. Let me use Pastor Sowa. You are there because he's your pastor. You're going to visit him. when you went there, Pastor Sowa had a towel around his waist. Then you realize that Pastor Sowa's tummy is getting bigger. If he has not allowed you, you hear me? If he did not permit you to enter his house, to come into that close proximity, there is no way that you will see even the naked part of his top. Are you hearing me? But because he allowed you, that's why. So please, when you are living in a community like church, home, school, family, don't think all is going to be rosy. Don't think all is going to be red carpet treatment. There will be situations where you'll be offended. Are you understanding, man? There will be situations where your vulnerability will show, and people may capitalize on your vulnerability and try to hurt you. When those things happen, you may certainly get angry, but how do you manage it? How do you manage it? The people you choose to live in close proximity to, they are the very people who may hurt you. Are you hearing me? Your wife may hurt you. Your husband may hurt you. Your boyfriend may hurt you. Your girlfriend may hurt you. But you are in a relationship. A burden relationship. A relationship that is emerging nicely. And because the girl did something, you are so angry that as if that little thing that the girl did, as if you have seen the Holocaust. You know Holocaust? Where the Germans annihilated all the Jews. Your boyfriend did something to you. As if you have seen the Yasantua war. That is closer home. What's this? You chose to live in proximity. You chose to relate to me as a husband, as a wife. You chose me as a boyfriend. I chose you as a girlfriend. We must build that relationship. We are all human beings. One is not a robot. And each one of us has got this emotion in him or her. Am I teaching now? So when somebody steps on your toe, you may get angry. The question is that even God says that you must get angry. But don't sin. Gradually we shall come to the sin aspect. What is the sin aspect of anger? So we are still dealing with how do you manage this thing. Do you know that we all have imperfections? Anybody home? Do you know that we all have imperfections? Our suffer is imperfect to some extent. Everybody has imperfections. And in our own imperfections, we show our greed. We show our greed. We are greedy. We show our selfishness. We are self-seeking. We have our self-interest. We have our own idiosyncrasies that we want to protect. And all these selfish attitudes makes living together difficult, complex, and it's a challenge. And I'm sure that the offense doesn't come from one person. Hey, come on, come on. Doesn't come from one person. Listen. The little I've told you, I'm sure you should be very careful who you choose to live very close to. Is that right? You should be very careful. Be very, very careful. So what do you say we need a command? If you do hang on then or what do you say we need a command there? And yeah, we are bit them and find a downfall. Because by nature no or you hurro nipa. There are people like that. Omi you hurro when them debiana or tease you sa ọdún sísá náà ọtí ẹ ọyẹ tíza. But God's signature is a very wonderful signature. God has a complex signature. Everybody's signature is in God's signature. Ah, sometimes you see some piece. Ah, now when you remember what's any, ah, inside when you remember no. Oh, you're complex. Oh, you're complex. Now listen to me. Be very careful the person you choose to live with. Am I speaking to somebody? Be very careful the person you choose to live with. Yeah, wa bua bi yefa ni praying mantis. Praying mantis. There is no internet on this, else you should have shown it to us. Praying mantis. There be anu I say. Praying mantis. Praying mantis. I want to talk about. Now listen, I may close on that. Let me talk to you about praying mantis and mating rituals. Praying mantis and mating rituals. When you go home, do a search on praying mantis. Those of you who have got internet on your phones, I will permit you to do that. Praying like you are praying a prayer. Mantis, M-A-N-T-I-S, and mating rituals. The praying mantis, they seldom have sex. They normally don't have sex. Listen. The day that they will have sex, the man will die. The day they will have sex, the man will die. You read about praying mantis and mating rituals. When they are having sex, the lady will be chopping off the head of the man. When the man is in the emotion and he's so happy, the lady will bend over like this and will be eating off the head of the man. That is how God made them. So one day sex, you die. When we bring it into human level, be very careful the person you choose to live with. Because if you don't take care, one will chop the other's head off. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. You realize that, hey, I'm in a certain relationship. Your friend, although you who? Although you die? That although you who, the moon tears you. Although you who? Take it literally. Don't try to polish it. Oh, take it literally. Odo, you who? Odo, you who? You are in a relationship that is killing you, like the praying mantis. If you don't choose your partner very well, you may die in that relationship. It could be the man. It could be the woman. If somebody understand the me. But thank God we are human beings. That's the praying mantis. That's the praying mantis. Sabwan ebini. When because of the sun rays, you may not get it properly. When you go home, check it on your internet. When they are having sex, the lady bends over and start eating the head of the man. We call it praying mantis and mating rituals. Some of you have gotten yourself involved in some praying mantis mating rituals. But you chose it. So stay in it. And manage it. Are we speaking? What is anger? The Bible said be angry. But don't sin in your anger. Anger is a reaction to a perceived threat to ourselves. It's a reaction to a perceived threat to our loved ones, to our children, to our property, to some part of our identity. When I'm being verbally assaulted or physically assaulted, I'll be angry. When I'm suffering from a blow to my self-esteem, with the menim AFM, to my self-esteem. If you want to hurt my self-esteem, my self-image, you treat me as if I'm not a human being, I'll be angry. If you want to attack my position in society as a pastor, as a businessman, as a man that I've worked to build my family, as a woman who have toiled to build my children, I will be angry. When somebody tried to interrupt you from pursuing a profitable goal, you will be angry. For example, if you are living with a spouse, a wife or a husband, who cheats on you, understandably, you will be angry. But why did you get angry? Because your spouse cheated on you. Do you know why? It is the sense of loss that you feel likely that also all along that we were living, did he love me? Why did he change me for that lady? Why did he change me for that man whilst still in this relationship? And then you get angry. You get angry. For example, look at a young lady who comes to you and say, my uncle, my father slept with me. My father slept with me. And this lady gets angry. Now, what will you tell this lady? Forgive and forget. Ah. The lady is going to the father's room. No boundaries. That's my father's room. That's my uncle's room. That's my brother's room. He's no boundaries. You walk anyhow. And then you go there and your uncle, your father's brother, abuse you sexually. And then he comes to you and say, oh, sister, forgive and forget. Now, is it biblical or is it a myth? Next time when I come back here, you answer that question. I mean, this aspect of forgive and forget, is it biblical or is it a myth? I want an answer from you the next time I come here. So what would be the proof of forgiveness? Oh, forgive. Are you trying to tell this young lady that the proof of forgiveness is the absence of anger? Yeah. On that note, I'm closing. Somebody you least expected to do that thing to you, he has done it to you. Then you go and talk to your brother or your mother or your pastor and say, oh, forgive and forget. The proof of forgiveness, according to you, should be the absence of anger. Is that proper? Oh, Jamaica. Oh, man, you know, you got the mabunfu. So the proof of forgiveness is that I should not be angry. Good morning.